Good morning. Welcome to Morning Praise at Liberty Baptist Church. We're missing a bunch of folks today, but want to continue to pray for those that are sick, those that are traveling, probably a bunch doing that this week in preparation for Thanksgiving. We started our bulletins back today, so if you've not had a bulletin, they have them as you come in. You can pick one up. The announcements are on there. There is one correction, though. Bible journaling will not be held this afternoon at 4:30. So if you will mark that out, so Bible journaling will not be held this afternoon at 4:30. We will have the hanging of the greens on the 29th at 6 p.m. There will be no Wednesday night service this week, since Wednesday, the night before Thanksgiving, we'll give you off there where you can go and spend time with your family. You've got some of the individuals on the prayer list that are included there. There are a bunch of others as well. The Bible study for the ladies will resume next Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock in the fellowship hall. I think that's all the announcements. Are there any other announcements we need to hear? You need to have the food in today, right, Cynthia? Okay, I know our ham is in the truck. Is that where it's at? Okay, so our ham is out there, but make sure you get that to Cynthia today. Amen. Great. Praise the Lord for that. And that's two families, right? Two separate families. Okay. How many total kids do you know? Okay. Wow. Great. Ashley? Wow. Amen. All right. 4,000 boxes for Operation Christmas Child, Operation Shoebox, or whatever you want to call it. That's right. Kathy?
I just wanted to let you know that the
Altar
Tank Christmas thing has added $1,000 to the
Yeah. But this is for Christmas. This is for Christmas, not Thanksgiving. Okay. All right. We'll have a box set up.
We also need to start restocking our kitchen.
Yes, the our food pantry has been just about drying down. So that's as you have opportunity to bring that as well. Okay. Any other? Now there's at least one disaster box that's over there, but it shouldn't be food. I mean, not much food, maybe some.
There's like six boxes, four boxes, got Alabama and Auburn on it, and they got all kinds of different foods.
I'll look.
I don't know. I don't know what it's for, but I will be decorating for my family for Thanksgiving over there, so, you know where to put it if someone don't have them picked up on Wednesday.
I'll check on it. Okay, any other announcements? Any other updates to prayers we need to hear? Okay. All right, we'll go on with Kids with the King. And if you are watching electronically, if you'll make sure you get your kids close to the monitor where they can see, we're going to be talking about being thankful, because what is coming up this week? And what do we always do on Thanksgiving? That's right, we always eat. But Thanksgiving is not about eating, though sometimes you might think it is. Thanksgiving is about being thankful. And a verse of Scripture that we're going to be looking at comes from Psalms 100. Make a joyful shout or a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It's He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with what? Thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Amen. So, Thanksgiving. Let me ask you, what do you think about when you hear the word Thanksgiving? Now, you know, growing up as a kid, we always got in front of the Zenith television. Now, when I was a kid, a TV was an article of furniture. It was a big wooden console, okay? And we would get in front of this huge TV, and, it, you know, it was a big screen before there were big screens, right? And watch Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And then there would be, of course, other things, including all kinds of food. Grandmom always, you guys know what a Lane cake is? Grandmom would make a Lane cake. And so anytime I think about Thanksgiving, I think about those family things. And that is important. We need to share that with our families. But Thanksgiving goes beyond even that, right? Thanksgiving is about having a thankful attitude, about being thankful for the things that we have. Even if you look around and think, well, it's a bad time, it's a bad situation. And it may be, but there's still things that we can be thankful for, right? And we should be thankful. As a matter of fact, we're going to be talking later that God says in everything to give thanks. So let me encourage you, kids, to think about things for which you are thankful. Let me encourage you to even maybe get an index card or sheet of paper and write down some things that you're thankful for. Maybe your parents. Maybe you're even thankful for your sibling. I don't know about that, but maybe so. You know, some things you're thankful for. A home. Maybe you've got some pets that you really love. There's a bunch of things that we can be thankful for. And I want you to take a moment and write those down and then maybe share with whoever you're thankful for how much you are thankful for them. Let your mom and dad know that you're thankful for them. Now, I was thinking about a video for you guys to show you, and I was thinking about Thanksgiving coming up and things I'm thankful for, and don't ask me why this song popped in my head, and you're going to laugh when you hear it. I don't even know how old this song is, but it reminds me of a missionary. When I was doing youth ministry back many, many years ago, we went on a mission trip 2 years in a row to Cherokee, North Carolina. And the missionary that the Southern Baptist Convention had in that area was named Nell Watson. Now, she must have been in her 70s when I met her. But she was faithful, she was passionate, she was dedicated, and she faithfully served the Lord. And this was her favorite song. She got all, now can you imagine a sanctuary full of teenagers singing this song?
Delight.
Turn up sandwich, a delight.
But my children all still scream.
A
Anybody in here know that song? You got to be over probably 50 years old to know that song, right?
Who was that?
You got, like I said, you got to be over 50 years old to know that. But that song, as crazy as that song is, reminded me of Nell Watson. And I am thankful for that lady. Now, she's already going on to her reward now. But she was faithful and passionate. And, you know, you would think, okay, she was in her 70s probably. And she probably, her forte was not mixing with teenagers. But she did. Every summer in and summer out, to make sure those mission teams were indoctrinated and introduced and doing God's work in Cherokee, North Carolina. So take a moment to be thankful for those around you and the things that God's doing and has done and will do in your life. Amen. Michael?
All right. And first off, we're happy to have Vanessa here playing for us today. So be a blessing to her and us all. Let's stand. If you notice, these are typical Thanksgiving hymns. So you may sing them once a year, but let's sing them all together.
Come, ye thankful people, come, raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in, ere the storms of winter begin. Sorry. God, our Maker, doth provide for our wants to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come, raise the song of heart. And the second, for the Lord our God shall come and shall take his harvest home. From his field shall in that day all offenses purge away. Give his angels charge at last in the fire that tears to cast. But the fruitful ears to store in his garner evermore. Even so, Lord, quickly come to thy final harvest home. Gather thou thy people in, free from sorrow, free from sin. There forever purified, in thy presence to abide. Come with all thine angels, come, raise the glorious harvest home.
And not bad considering that's probably, you. If you were here last year, you sang it then, so we hadn't sung that in over a year. So, good job.
Amen. Take just a moment, turn around, blow a kiss to somebody behind you, let them know how glad you are that they are here today as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together, for this beautiful Sunday morning you've sent us. Lord, thank you for the times that we can express our thanksgiving. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for, even in the midst of a global pandemic, even in the midst of darkness in our culture. Lord, so many things that are going on, and yet we know that there is light in the darkness because you exist, Lord. Because you live, Lord Jesus, we may live as well. Help us to be that light on the hill that you've called us to be. Help us to be the salt that you've instructed us to be. Father, help us to be bold in sharing your truth and in sharing your love with a dark and a dying world. Lord, pray for those that are traveling, that you would give them safe journeys. We pray for those that are sick. So many in the hospital. We pray for our first responders, medical personnel, those on the front lines of this medical emergency. We pray for our military, that you would keep them safe, that they might soon be able to return home. And then, Father, we pray for our leaders at all levels of government, that you would grant them wisdom and discernment and understanding and direction, that they might be more concerned with your approval than their position in a political poll. Lord God, as your church, help us to be always faithful. Help us to be the standard lifted up drawing all men, Lord Jesus, to you. We commit this time to you and pray that you'll be honored and glorified by all that's done and said. We welcome you here, Lord God, in the person of your Holy Spirit to receive the praise and worship that you alone are due. And all God's people said, amen.
And remain standing. You got to sing. Y'all did this last week without me, but let's do it again. All together, sing it out. And
give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks.
Perfect song for this day. And now again, Thanksgiving, we gather together all three verses. See if you remember it. And
we gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens His will to make known. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing. Sing praises to His name. He forgets not His.
And the second.
Beside us to guide us, God with us joining. Ordaining, maintaining His kingdom divine. So from the beginning, the fight we were winning. Thou, Lord, was at our side. The glory be Thine.
And the last.
We all do extol Thee, Thou leader in battle, and pray that Thou still our defender will be. Let Thy congregation escape tribulation. Thy name be ever praised. O Lord, make us free.
And this last word, let Thy congregation escape tribulation. Is that, could that not be more appropriate in these times?
Amen. Well, as we light the candle this morning, we want to continue to remember our military personnel that you see on the board there, and then our first responders as well. Any that we need to add, please let me know.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home.
Thank you, and you may be seated. And again, thank you, Vanessa.
Title of the message today is Thanks Living. Thanks Living. Thursday is Thanksgiving. It is a day set aside by the federal government to give thanks. It is not the only day to give thanks, and it is not the only way to give thanks. Join me as we pray. Father, help us to open our hearts and our minds to the leading of your Spirit, to the content of your Word. Help us to understand that no matter how dark the days, no matter how painful the situation, no matter what may be occurring around us, we may feel like there's no escape. We may feel like no one knows. We may feel like there is no way to victory. And yet, you tell us that you never leave us, you never forsake us, that you are all that we need. We have so much to be thankful for. Help us to see that. And then, Father, help us to live that as well. Father, thank you for what you have done, for what you are doing right now, for what you will do in the future. We give you praise. Help me to be your instrument this morning, Father. Forgive me of my sins. We continue to pray, Father, the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. So, while we will probably all gather with family and friends Thursday to have a feast and to give thanks, obviously, we need to be thankful more than just on Thursday. Some verses of Scripture we want to look at today, starting with Psalm 50. Now, the entire psalm is not on the board there, but I probably am going to read the entire psalm. It's not long. So if you want to turn in your Scripture there, that's fine. Psalm 50, the Mighty One, God the Lord, has spoken and call the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds. For every beast of the field, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine, and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving, and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. The key verses there, 14 and 15, offer to God thanksgiving, and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Well, let's keep looking. Also, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, we're told this, be anxious for nothing. Now, we live in a time where people are worried. People are anxious. There are billions of dollars spent every year on anti-anxiety medication because we are, as a people, we are anxious. And if you look around you, if you look at what's going on around you, you can see the people have good cause to be anxious. But if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then what? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Why are there so many people that are so anxious and worried today? It's because they don't have the peace of God. It is very difficult, would you not agree? It would be very difficult to be anxious and have the peace of God at the same time. As a matter of fact, I submit to you that it would be impossible to be anxious for anything if you have the peace of God that rules in your hearts. Well, how do you get that? In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. We live in difficult times. We live in dark times. Scripture says we live in perilous times. And the truth is, it's going to get darker probably. It's going to get more difficult before Jesus Christ returns. But even in the dark times, even in the perilous times, even in the difficult times, even in the times we don't understand, we have the assurance that He will never leave us and He will never forsake us. And we can have the peace of God in spite of whatever may be going on around us. Perhaps you have met somebody in your life that exhibited this, that they maybe they were ill, maybe they were seriously ill, maybe something was going on in their family, but in the midst of that difficulty, they still exhibited something the world had no clue about, and that is the peace of God that passes all understanding. As a pastor, I can tell you, I have attended the death of quite a few people, and there is a drastic difference between the death of a saint of God. Now, when I say a saint of God, I mean somebody who knows Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, and someone who does not. The death of someone who does not know Jesus is a terrifying experience, and should be. It should be. But the death of someone who knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior is a peaceful experience. A peaceful experience. What makes the difference? Jesus Christ makes all of the difference. Three things we're going to be talking about today when we talk about thanks living. If we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, how we need to be living. Now, let me preface this by saying that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can't really do these things. Now, you may can do some of them for some time, but the problem is our human ability is frail, right? We're not going to be able to keep this up. I've met individuals who would tell me, you know, Pastor, I know I need to be in church, and one of these days I'm going to come when I get my life straightened out, I'm going to come to church. And you know what I tell them? You're never coming to church because you are not going to get your life straightened. We as individuals, we as human beings, the whole lot of us, we will never ever get our lives straightened out without Jesus Christ. Amen? You're just not going to do it. The United Nations says that they are working for world peace. Well, that's a high ideal. More power to them. But I'm going to tell you, mankind will never have peace until man has the peace of Christ. Because wars and strifes and struggles, where does James tell us they come from? They come from the inside out. They don't come from the outside in, the inside out. Because without Jesus Christ, the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. It's dark. We don't like that picture, but that is the picture of who we are without Jesus Christ. So I'll submit to you that you cannot really, truly, completely live thankfully apart from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So let me encourage you first and foremost. The greatest thing to be thankful for is that God loved you enough to send his one and only son that you might have life everlasting. Amen. For God so loved you that he sent his only begotten son, that believing in him you might not perish, but you might have everlasting life. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you can and you should live appreciatively. Amen? You need to live appreciatively. Now, what does that mean? That means that you live thankfully. You are thankful for the things you have. Now, have you ever noticed that the retail industry, we talked about it a little bit earlier, the retail industry thinks that the way the holiday system goes in the United States is you celebrate Halloween, and then Christmas follows Halloween, then you have a short break for Thanksgiving, and then Christmas starts again. Now, why do they say that? Because they want you to spend money. Now, that's fine. Spend money's okay. I like to boost the economy as well. But the premise of so many of the ads for so many retail companies is you don't have what you need. You need the new and improved version of whatever this is. They're not going to tell you, get it because you want it. They're going to tell you, you need. And people make fun and laugh when I say that. But I remember growing up, I don't ever remember my sister. I don't remember my mom. I don't remember my wife nor my daughter ever telling me, I want to go to Walmart. What do they say? I need to go to Walmart. No, you don't. No, you don't. I abhor, I don't go to Walmart if I get out of it. But I need to go to Walmart. No, you don't need to. But we feel like we need to, don't we? And I need a new car. No, you don't need a new car. You might need transportation, but you don't need, you see what I'm saying? We think we got to have more than we have. What is the definition of contentment? Being satisfied with what you have. Oh my goodness, if we were satisfied, we'd put retailers out of business, wouldn't we? Now, when God says to live, you know, when he tells us to live appreciatively, what does he mean? Be thankful for what we have. Now, I'm not saying don't strive for anything else. I'm not saying that you don't need to go to Walmart. Maybe you do. I'm not saying don't buy Christmas presents. I like getting Christmas presents too. But what I'm saying is we need to live thankfully. Do we appreciate what we have? As a matter of fact, God says in his word in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Now, he did not say for everything give thanks, but he did say in everything give thanks. I know individuals who have gone through very difficult times, very stressful times, heartbreaking times, and you think, well, what can you possibly be thankful for? You can find something. You can find something. Number one, in that situation, Jesus Christ never left you. He's there with you no matter what you may go through. If you look in Exodus, and you don't have to go there now, but if you look in Exodus, you will see the delivery of the Israelites from bondage in Egypt, and you will see them go into the desert, and then you will see them be disobedient and unfaithful, and you will see that then God brings judgment on them, and they will wander for how long? 40 years in the wilderness. But did you also notice that the whole 40 years that they wandered in the wilderness, where was God for those 40 years? There with them the whole time. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. Boy, you're about putting a retailer out of business. They put a retailer out of business. God was with them the whole time, even though they were undergoing judgment. God has not left you. If you don't see God, if you don't hear God, if you don't feel God, you better look to see who moved. It's probably not God. Probably not God. So in everything, Scripture says, give thanks. Remember that God is the source. James 1:17 says God is the source of every good and perfect gift. The word perfect, thoroughly fashioned, complete. God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Where do all these good things come from? They come from the heart of God. We need to live appreciatively. Something else to be thankful for. Grace. We sing Amazing Grace. You know, my chains are gone. We sing that. But do we fully appreciate the grace of God? That I deserve death. I deserve hell. I deserve the darkness. But Jesus Christ paid the penalty for me. That is grace. That is grace. Unmerited favor of God, freely given to us at great cost to God. The very life that you enjoy every day is a gift from God. Every electrical beat of your heart, every breath you take in, it's all a gift from God. We were talking about just a few weeks ago, except for the grace of God, any of us could be born in any other place, right? You could be born in sub-Sahara Africa. You could be born, you know, in a family destitute. You know, all kinds of things. We are thankful, I hope, for life. We're thankful that He has given us life. And Jesus said, not only have I come for you to have life, but He says, I've come that you might have life more abundantly. Now, I don't mean by that a BMW in your parking in your garage, or I mean real life, full life, abundant life, the life that God desires and designs us to have. So we need to live appreciatively, understanding that I didn't get what I have. God has given it to me. God has given it to me. I remember my youngest nephew, Blake. I don't remember how old he was now, but you know, just barely old enough to understand that he's getting presents, you know. And so Blake is sitting on the floor at Mom and Dad's house, and he's surrounded by, I mean, I don't know how much he weighs, but he's surrounded by presents that weigh probably five times what he weighs. And he don't know what to think about all this stuff. So we start showing him, you know, you got to open the presents. You got to tear the stuff off. So he tears all this stuff off. You know what he plays with? The ribbons and the wrapping paper. All these expensive toys, he's playing with the ribbons because they were bright and they were shiny. He liked it. He was appreciative. He was appreciative just of the wrapping paper. We need to be appreciative of life. When was the last time that you told God, thank you? When was the last time you told somebody else, thank you? Live appreciatively. Let me ask you this. If you do something for somebody not expecting anything in return, but you do something for somebody, doesn't it make you feel good when they say, thank you? Appreciate that? You know, years, ages ago when I worked in public safety as a communications officer, some of the officers on the night shift especially, they would, you know, when they would ask for something, you know, a registration or driver's check or whatever they were asking for, and I'd give it to them, there was some of them, they'd say, thank you. They didn't have to do that. It was my job to do that. But it always felt good to know that they appreciated what I was doing for them. Doesn't cost much to say thank you. Make a habit of that. Let others know that you appreciate them and that you appreciate God working through them. That little song, Nell Watson, every time I hear that crazy song, I think about Nell. And I appreciate her faithfulness and what she did. Secondly, though, we need to live hopefully. Hopefully. Now, what do I mean by the term hopefully? We need to live hopefully. I'm not talking about some pie-in-the-sky wish, like a genie. I'm going to find a genie lamp and get three wishes. I'm talking about living expectantly. Expectantly. You remember when you were growing up, Christmas Eve, you went to bed and probably couldn't sleep. Why? Because you were expecting something. And that expectation was the case of not just hoping you were going to have it, but expecting to see it. Expecting to see it. We need to live expectantly. We need to look to Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith, as the giver of every good and perfect gift, and expect God to show up. Sometimes we pray not in faith, not expecting God to show up, and then He doesn't. We wonder, why didn't He show up? We're not praying in faith. We're not expecting Him to show up, so God doesn't show up. Scripture's plain. We need to pray in faith, expecting God to show up. Think about it for a moment. The Israelites had their back, all million of them, had their back to the Red Sea. And the Egyptian army is pressing on them. God's holding the army of Egypt back. And He tells Moses to lift his staff over the Red Sea. Now, most of the people had no idea what was going to happen, but I fully believe Moses expected God to show up, and He did. God showed up and God showed out, didn't He? He parted the Red Sea. Joshua, when he took over after Moses passed away, and he was leading the Israelites across the Jordan River into the Promised Land, the Jordan River was at flood stage. But God told Joshua, As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Joshua expected God to show up just like He did for Moses, and God did, didn't He? He divided the waters of the Jordan River, and again, they walked through on dry land. David, a teenage boy, meets Goliath, a 9-foot armor-clad Philistine warrior with a slingshot. Why? Because David expected God to show up. David, as a matter of fact, said to Goliath, he said, "I come against you in the name of God." Not in the power of David, but in the name of God. And God put that. Now, I don't think David was that good a shot. Not by himself. God put that rock in the one spot that it had to go. And you know what happened after that. But David expected God to show up because David said God has always shown up against the bear, against the lion, against the wolf, whatever it may be. Let me ask you, do you live expectantly? Not just thankfully, but you expect God to show up. Why wouldn't He show up? He loves you. He gave His Son to die so that you might have life and life more abundantly. He's not going to abandon you. Expect Him to show up. If your kids call you in the middle of the night and they got a trouble, don't they expect you to show up? You better believe it. I'd be on the first plane to Fort Worth. God loves you. He will show up. Do you expect Him to? Do you have faith that He will? Live like it then. Live like it. Not in fear and trepidation, but in victory. Knowing that I serve the risen Lord. Amen? The living church of God. No matter how dark it gets, no matter how difficult it gets, no matter how painful it gets, we win because He wins. Faith and hope go hand in hand, actually, don't they? Faith and hope go hand in hand. So if you're going to live appreciatively and live hopefully, you've also got to, thirdly, live faithfully. Live faithfully. Trust Jesus with the big and the small things. Somebody told me one time that they didn't want to bother God with the small, trivial matters of life. I do. I want to bother God with all of it because I mess up on the small things too. What about you? The thing is, God cares about the quote-unquote small things of life, just like he does the big ones. David, we talk about David a lot. You know, in David, when he looked over the balcony and saw Bathsheba, you got to think, what happened to the man after God's own heart that made David do that? And we don't have insight, but I can just about guarantee you that David's problem did not start when he looked over the balcony and saw Bathsheba. David's problem started before then sometimes, a little bit at a time. Somehow, he started moving away. And when he looked over the balcony and saw Bathsheba, he had already moved a pretty good piece away from God. And that was just going over the edge, so to speak, then. So God cares about the small things in life. Bring them to him. Live faithfully. Trust him with all of your life. Not just the religious part. I love this. Not just the religious part. Every part. Business, school, relationships, recreation, whatever you do, Scripture says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you heard me say this before. Don't wear a Christian t-shirt and act like the devil. Turn your shirt inside out. Take the fish off the back of your car if you're going to drive like the devil. Okay? Don't represent Jesus Christ if you're going to live like the devil. Follow faithfully. That means I trust him in everything. It's a 24/7, 365 package. Jesus is not the Lord of your life if he's only the Lord for 1 hour on Sunday and maybe 1 hour on Wednesday. Then he's not the Lord of your life. You're fooling yourself if that's the case. He is to be Lord of how much? All. Everything. Live faithfully. Now, here's where sometimes it gets difficult, because we want to know ahead of time, don't we? Don't we? Don't we? Really? Truly? Don't we want to know ahead of time? Well, Lord, you know, I've heard people say, well, you know, I want to surrender to the ministry, or I want to surrender to the mission field, but I don't want to go to wherever. I'm like, I don't know where he may send you, but you're not really surrendered if you say, okay, Lord, I'm surrendered 75%. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. When the prophet lifted his eyes and saw God, and God said, who will I send and who will go for us? What did he say? He said, here am I, send me. He did not say, here am I, send me as it is to such and such a place. God had a prophet named Jonah. He sent him to where? Nineveh. Nineveh's a bad place. The Israelites didn't like Nineveh. And Jonah for sure didn't like Nineveh. But God sent Jonah to Nineveh to preach repentance or judgment's coming. Now, what did Jonah want to see? Jonah wanted to see judgment on Nineveh. You know, it's funny, sometimes we want to see God's justice on somebody else, but what do we want? We want mercy. We don't want judgment. And Jonah wanted justice on Nineveh. God wanted to send mercy. So what'd Jonah do? He went down to the seacoast, bought a ticket on a boat going the other way. He said, I am not going to Nineveh. But guess what? God said, oh yes, you are. Storm comes up, and what'd they do with Jonah? Zoom, over the side, man overboard. They tossed him over. And some kind of big fish. Now, you know, we sing the story about a whale. I don't know if it's a whale. I don't know if it's a great white shark. I don't know if it's a whale shark. I don't know. Maybe it was a grouper for all I know. But some kind of fish swallowed Jonah whole. And he's in the belly of the fish for how long? Three. Count them. Now, what's in the belly of a fish? I've never been there, but I can imagine a belly of a fish is dark. It's probably nasty smelling, don't you imagine? Probably smells pretty nasty. and it's full of whatever that fish has been eating or swallowing. So the belly of a fish is not the place to be. And Jonah has ample opportunity to consider his choices. And you might say, well, he didn't have a whole lot of choice at that point. And maybe he didn't, but he could have chose still to be disobedient. But he understood God's God, and he said, okay, whatever you want. And we know what happened. The fish spit him up on the shore. Where at? At Nineveh. The whole time Jonah was going to Nineveh, he just didn't know it. How much better would it have been for Jonah if he had been faithful even when he didn't understand? Even when God didn't give him the whole picture, if he had just said, okay, Lord, I don't understand why. I don't like the Ninevites, but I'll go. He would have saved himself a whole lot of trouble. And we don't ever do that, do we? We don't ever tell God no, do we? Sometimes we probably do. I'm pretty sure we do. When we say, God, I hear you, but this don't apply right now. Ooh, yes, it does. Well, I know what you want, but let me do this first. Watch out. I've even heard people say sometimes, well, I know that God wants me to do this, but I've got these other things that's in the way. And you know what I have seen sometimes? God, take these other things out of the way. I've seen that happen. So we need to understand that even though God may not give us details of what's coming, He will never leave us, and He expects us to trust Him that He will take care of us. And what does Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 say? He will direct our paths. You know, I remember growing up, I was amazed that Dad knew how to get to the places that we would go. You know, as a kid, I was like, how do you know how to get there? And he tried to explain, but, you know, I didn't understand. He had been to those places, so he knew how to get there. So finally, I just like, okay, I'm with you. We need to tell God that sometimes. God, I don't understand, but I'm with you. Wherever you lead, I will follow. Amen. I will follow. I've shared with you before about my girl when she goes hiking with me. She wants to run ahead of me sometimes, and I leave her off leash most of the time. She runs ahead of me. She'll run behind me. She comes up and checks on me. Every now and then we'll get to a divergence in the path. One trail goes left, one trail goes right, and I've got to where I'll watch to see what she does. And she'll stop, she'll look back, but I'm back, coming back there, so she'll pick a trail. I'll go the other way. And she'll be going down that trail for a little piece, and she'll look back, and uh-oh, Daddy's not there. So then she has to backtrack and find me. But I got to thinking, she has no idea where I'm going, but she is willing to follow me wherever I take her. She may not necessarily like the area. She don't like to go to the vet, but she'll get in the truck if I ask her to, because wherever I'm going, she wants to follow. We may not know which way Jesus is leading, but we need to be willing to follow Him faithfully, no matter the circumstances of the world. We live, yes, in perilous times. Stuff's happening. I don't understand why it's happening other than God's told us it's going to be this way. You know, people make decisions. I don't understand where they come up with some of the things they come up with, but that's the way they're doing it. The church is going to be called on to make a stand, and it's not going to be popular, and there's going to be consequences of that. But I'd rather be like Joshua and say, as for me and my house, we will follow the Lord. Faithfully. Faithfully. Because when you come to the end of your life, and we all will be at that point at some place in time, when you reach the end of your life, it will not matter what culture thought, will not matter what the news reported, won't matter how many degrees you had, how much money you've got, how much power you will. None of that will matter. The only thing that will matter is when Jesus says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your Lord." The alternative is, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Thanksgiving. How about thanks living? Live appreciatively. Live appreciatively. Live hopefully, expectantly, and live faithfully. Here's your compass point. Thanksgiving is a once-a-year holiday, but thanksgiving is a way of life. If you truly know Jesus Christ, you can and should live thankfully. Every day is Thanksgiving. Amen. Father, thank you for your love and your blessings. Thank you for giving us of yourself, Lord, that we might have life and have it more abundantly in and through the person of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord and Savior. Lord, help us to indeed choose you above all else. Help us to live appreciatively, hopefully, and faithfully. Or whatever is on our hearts and our minds, we bring to you today. As the altar is open, Lord, help us to come and cast our cares upon you, because we know that you care for us. If there's anyone here that does not know you as Lord and Savior, Father, I pray before they leave this building, they will ask you to forgive them of their sins, to save their soul, and be their Savior and their Lord. Help us to be, individually and corporately, all that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand, please? The altar is open.
If you are tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. If you desire a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now your doubtings give o'er. Just now reject him no more. Just now throw open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart.
Amen. Thank you for your time and your attendance today. Don't forget food you need to get to today, right? And there is a Bible tournament that I know you have announcements, and we can make that all of you that.
Give thanks one more time. And all together. And give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because of heaven, Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, "I am strong." Let the poor say, "I am rich." rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks.
Awesome. And I'm going to commend her back there. That was a thing that was overlooked on mine, and you caught it with me. Thank you, darling.